I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Bad Manners, and welcome back to the Midlands, where we're returning to Harvington Hall, famous for having the most priest holes in England. And filling us in on those holes is a man who spent a lot of time in them, programmes manager Phil Downing. Last time, we heard about evil priest hunter and priest torturer Richard Topcliffe swinging beam priest hides, buckets of piss and apples. But there's one very important person we're yet to talk about.
We can't really talk about Harvington Hall without mentioning Nicholas Owen. He's sort of integral to the priest holes. He was the carpenter, is that right? He built them.
Yeah. Correct. So he is the master carpenter. He is the guy that was travelling around, particularly the Midlands, installing these ingenious priest hides. This guy's brain worked in 3D, so he could literally go into a building and just sort of knock down walls in his mind and think, well, I'll just change that, I'll just move that there. And he's that clever. They used to actually take stonemasons and bricklayers to houses to search them to see where they'd been tampered with. Now, Nicholas Owen's that ingenious, he could just disguise everything. So he is literally the master of illusions. Like, this guy was absolutely incredible.
Didn't that become his title?
I've heard that he's the patron saint of illusionists and escapologists.
That is very cool.
But all his designs are different. So he wouldn't do the same design twice. Because, of course, if you put, let's say, the swinging beam hide, which we attributed to him, if he's done that here and they find it, they'll go to every single house and start pushing on every single wooden beam. Mm-hmm. So you can't replicate the same trick.
Yeah. So you've got to keep on just coming up with different ideas.
Yeah.
He did eventually get captured at one point, didn't he? He went to my house, my old house.
He did.
The Tower of London.
Yeah. He was a resident.
So how did he get caught? What happened to him?
So he was caught actually 10 miles away from here at a place called Hindlip Hall. Now, that house there was searched for 12 days, which is the longest search ever recorded. And it was just after the gunpowder plot. Now, that house no longer exists, but the ironic thing is, in its place is now the West Mercia Police Headquarters. So he was captured there after 4 days of hiding. So he had an apple between him and one other guy called Ralph Ashley. And it's great, isn't it?
I just love the fact that apples keep on making a recurring appearance.
It's a simple fruit.
Yeah. No bananas in this priesthood. They even have bananas at that
time.
No,
oranges.
Oranges,
but no apples. No bananas. Actually, I don't know when bananas came in, but there we go.
That is a question for another podcast. When did bananas come to England?
Yeah, banana expert.
But yeah, so he was captured.
So basically, he was captured on the fourth day of a 12-day search. Recognized instantly, probably because he was only said to be a short man. His alias was Little John. So he was going, apparently he was only kind of like 5 foot. So he was only a small guy.
And this is probably wrong, but I need to ask it. Little John, no connection in Robin Hood. That's not where the stories might have been mixed up or anything like that.
No, I mean, I've always thought that, though.
Yeah.
I've often thought that. But he was documented at the time as Little John.
Okay.
He had a limp because he fell off his horse and broke his leg. And he had a hernia, of all things. So quite distinctive chap. So took him down to the Tower of London. Put him under torture. And there's a couple of different stories. So the one at the Tower of London, which I'm sure you might remember, but where the rack is down in the little dungeon bit.
Yes.
There's a bit of writing there, and there's actually an image of a guy held up by the manacles, which is said to be Nicholas Owen. And it says that the jailer said that he stabbed himself to death. The story is actually what happened was they put a metal plate over the hernia to stop it popping out. And what it actually did was exploded and it killed him. So he died under torture.
And so it then exploded, so it just exploded in him.
It would have poisoned him, wouldn't it? Yeah, it would have been I'm sure it's septicemia or something would have kicked in at that point.
That is that's a horrible way to go.
Yeah.
But didn't he not escape at one...
Yeah, so...
Before that.
So a few years before, he was captured and he basically, yeah. But I don't think he was arrested because they didn't know who he was. So he had been He had been captured before, but they knew who he was at this point. So Robert Cecil was very happy when they captured, I can't remember the exact quote, but basically very happy that they'd captured Nicholas Owen, but he also praised him for how amazing his work was. Mm-hmm. But they were joyous that they captured him.
Yeah, wow. What a guy. Nicholas Owen also, we think he was the mastermind behind helping John Gerard escape the Tower as well.
Yeah, that's a theory I've heard. Whether I believe it or not, I'm not sure. But yeah, he's supposedly the guy that masterminded the escape, which as you know, I'm sure you know, that very few people ever escaped the Tower of London, but John Gerard did.
Yeah, there are only a few. A couple of cross-dressers who escaped at some point, so no. I think that's a trick of getting out of the Tower. Yeah, cross-dressing. That was pretty famous. But tell the story of John Gerard. Yeah.
So basically, he was a Jesuit priest during the reign of Elizabeth I, and he's like a priest with nine lives. I mean, he literally was dodging the authorities. He'd hid in many priest hides. Two of them we definitely know were Nicholas Owen priest hides that he hid in and escaped.
I love the idea that Nicholas Owen's like, it's, you know, this isn't just any priest hide. This is a Nicholas Owen priest hide.
Exactly.
Like Marks and Spencer's
just,
advert.
I wasn't sure if you can mention those. But yeah, just like that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
do you want your hide to be luxurious and less dusty with more apples than the usual hide? Then get a Nicholas Owen hide.
Yeah, something like that. So John Gerard hid in Nicholas Owen's
Feel the hide. Difference.
So what happened was, so basically John Gerard escaped this house called Braddock's, and 3 weeks later he was captured with Nicholas Owen and they recognised John Gerard.
Disclaimer, it will not always work. Sometimes you'll get captured.
Well, he wasn't in a hide at that point.
So he wasn't in a hide?
We'll let him off. He was in the bedroom at that point.
Okay.
And they captured John Gerard. They recognised who he was. They threw him into prison. Then he went into the Tower of London and then he escapes the Tower.
And how does he escape? How?
So he wrote a letter in orange juice. Now, orange juice is secret ink, so it dries clear. So he basically befriended a jailer in the Tower of London, and he said, look, can I get some oranges? And the guy, a bit odd, but yeah, we'll get you some oranges. And he was making rosaries out of the peel of the orange, mm-hmm. sending it to his friends on the outside, clearly wrapped in paper, just looks like a blank piece of paper. Friends knew what it was, hold it up to a candlelight, and of course all the words then appear on the page, come and rescue me from the Tower.
Oh, because you can just see through the light that it's sort of...
Well, it's sort of, yeah, it's just the ink just appears.
It, yeah.
So quite a cool trick, actually.
How the hell did they find that out?
Don't know. It's the same with lemon juice. It's just a citrus thing, is it? So they do it with lemons as well.
Ingenious.
Very clever.
Very clever.
So yeah, that happened. And then...
Fruit are saving the day left, right and centre in this story.
Never thought of it like that. Yeah, there's a lot of fruit.
It's a lot of fruit. A lot of fruit. Not bananas.
Not bananas. But yeah, it worked. And he escaped. And of course, he'd been also hung up by the manacles by Richard Topcliffe, the priest hunter.
Yeah.
So he
had to get across the moat, didn't he?
Yeah. So that, of course, the rope's sort of like on a 45 degree angle. And he's managed to kind of just climb down. Considering his wrists have been mangled by being hung up by the manacles.
Yeah.
So God helped him on that day. So
I do feel like you hit this. A lot of priests are doing some pretty physically demanding stuff. I do think God has to be a bit with them at some point,
yeah,
giving them that strength.
But I think a lot of people expect Friar Tuck as well. When you mentioned a priest, you imagine this big guy, but actually they're young guys like us, and just they're relatively fit. So
yeah, okay, action big, priests.
Yeah, yeah.
Very kind of Phil to call me young, and I didn't even have to pay him much. By the way, Action Priests will be in a cinema this Christmas near you.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Time now for a tour. It's all well and good hearing about these genius priest hides, but I wanted to see them for myself. So Phil took me up his passage to have a look at his holes.
If you come this way...
I'm not going to guess this. There's no possible way.
There's no way. If you look above our heads here, towards the back of the room, you see that beam running across the top, under, you know, under the ceiling. You see that beam?
I can see that, yeah.
It's a bit of steel that's holding the house up. But that beam there suggests that the room actually was up to here and then was knocked backwards to make room for a hiding place.
I see.
Because if you look above that, this porch area, you see some wall painting up there. It's a bit of plastered wall painting. Now, that wall painting, you wouldn't have gone to all that trouble painting your walls and then put panelling over the top of it.
No.
So that painting there is dead in line with a mermaid wall painting in the corridor through there.
In the mermaid passage?
In the mermaid passage, yes.
I've always wanted to be in a mermaid's passage.
Now, if you have a look above that door, can you see a two-tailed mermaid? It's a bit like the Starbucks coffee.
I can, yes.
Yes, there she is. Now, she, as I said, is dead in line with the painting in this room. So this was once a corridor, and all the walls were knocked back. So Nicholas Owen, the priest makers, knocked the walls backwards through here to make room for a priest hide.
Right. And where is it?
Well, firstly, now this is where the house becomes confusing when you get into here. So
yeah, the entire floor is just sloped the wrong way.
Yeah.
This has gone madness.
So where are you in relation to downstairs now?
Are we above the kitchen?
No.
I'm not going to lie, I'm lost.
Yeah, this is the whole purpose of it. So notice now, the floor height changes just over there. The floor height changes next to you where you're standing there. And behind you is a spiral staircase.
Yeah.
And also, to the left of me is a corridor.
Yeah.
So the whole idea now is to confuse you. This is the illusion part of it. This is an illusion out here. One thing that you will notice, if we go to the back of the house at some point, you'll notice all the windows are jumbled up. You can't see how many stories the house is on. And that's because all the floor heights change. And it's to confuse you, because priest heights can be seen from the outside. So that's why they do it.
Well, it definitely works. I was so confused walking around Harvington Hall, I didn't know which way was up. And then we started walking up, I think.
We're going to go up these... You've got 4 or 5 steps here.
Yeah, more spiral steps. This is a tiny room we're in now.
Now, this is the smallest room of the house. People come around and not on a guided tour. They walk in and go, that's a library. Don't think much of it, and they leave the room. However, we now have the most ingenious priest hide in this house and arguably the second most ingenious priest hide in England. So in front of where we're standing now, we've got a ladder, goes onto like a raised platform, and that originally is the book cupboard. So if you imagine in front of us here, you can't see it now, but you'd have 2 doors in front. Mm-hmm. And then we've got panelling still on the back wall, but there would have been panelling on the wall on the left and panelling on the wall on the right. Now, books stacked to the ceiling. You're standing here as a priest hunter. That's just a book cupboard.
Yep.
However, if I climb into the book cupboard...
Oh, we really are climbing in. Yeah, excellent.
So what we now see is this brick wall. You would have unclipped the panelling off the wall and you've just got normal... kind of brick wall and a wooden beam. But this beam here, if I push on the top of it...
No. Oh, it flipped up. Amazing.
So
that
this...
probably like sprung into action. I thought it was going to be a slow fader, but it was actually...
You've got to move pretty quick.
Yeah, you do.
You've got no time to waste. So that priest hide in there is the one I spent 36 hours in.
You spent 36 hours in that?
So 8 foot long, 3 foot wide and 5 foot high. Do you want to go in?
Absolutely. But can we make a promise that you let me out, please? Yeah. I 36 hours is a bit too long for me.
So you've got to go side on to get in. There's no way, literally a foot wide, if that.
I've never felt fatter in my life. Yeah. Hang on. Yep.
Now, bear in mind, you've got a window in there, so you can see, but it's still quite dark, even with the window.
Oh, God. Oh, I sat on my spoon. Sorry. It's really dark, yeah. This window looks back out into the great hall.
It looks into the corridor. But through that window is where the little boy found the hide. So that would have been a brick wall, of course, and then we've put a window in so you can have a look. So you can see how dark it is, even though there's a window and this beam's open, but you imagine that being closed down. Should I close you in?
Yes, please.
Now, you're going to see gaps around the beam, but you have to imagine this would be sitting flush.
I don't want to make any noise now. I feel like I should be silent here.
So you're actually above the corridor where we've just been as well. So you imagine you're sitting on the floor there. If you move...
Yeah.
And it creaks, people will hear it underneath you. So you're hovering basically above the corridor.
I'm already really aware of my breathing.
Yeah.
I breathe really loudly.
Do you know what? And you can actually hear it. So James, the assistant manager, when I slept in there, this might sound a bit creepy, but he was actually could hear me breathing through the wall.
That is freaky.
Yeah, it's freaky. It's more creepy, why is he listening to me breathing through a wall? But
yeah. I mean, it's very claustrophobic in here, and the idea of spending 10 days...
Yeah,
I go insane. Can I please come out now? Guys? Hello?
They didn't leave me in there for 10 days, but it was certainly longer than I'd have liked. Next up on the tour was the priest's bedchamber. You know, we hadn't known each other for that long, but Phil had already let me climb inside one of his holes... And now he was showing me his boudoir. I didn't even have to buy him dinner.
So this was a priest bedchamber at one time. And actually, if you look through the door there, you'll see, I don't know if the other door on the far end's open, but there's 3 interconnecting doors or rooms. So they're all priest bedchambers all the way through.
This one's the red room.
That's called the red room, yeah. Bit Christian Grey.
Yeah, but, I thought he was going to be a Catholic, not Christian.
Probably not the best name for the room. But this room holds secrets as well. If I make my way over back to the doorway,
mm-hmm.
any idea what room is directly beneath where I'm standing?
Is it the library?
You're not far wrong, yeah. So this is where the priest hide is, where you've been in.
Oh, so we're above it now.
Yeah, you're literally above it.
He really is. All angles, he's got people walking around trying to find him.
So the whole idea is you walk around the spiral staircase, which is there. But again, it's a bit of a way of trying to confuse you. But it's literally underneath here. But there's something else about this room. If you're asleep in your bed over there,
mm-hmm.
and you hear all the commotion, priest and just charging up the stairs, you think, well, I need to get out of here. First thing, you'll be panicking. Mm-hmm. If you go through those two rooms that connect to this one, you're trapped. There's nowhere out, no way to escape. But there's an escape route in this room. There's a way out.
I don't know where it is. This is an impossible house to figure out. I've got no idea.
Over in the corner over there, there's a fireplace. It's fake.
There's a fake
fireplace? It's not a real fireplace.
Oh, there's a...
There's a mirror. I thought she had the lights off, so you can't really see. But we'll go up there so you can see it. But on that mirror, if you go down on your knees up there and have a look up, you'll see it. So there's the escape route's up there.
Oh, the chimney?
Yeah, into the attic.
That's ingenious.
Yeah,
that's
great. Now, I know someone that has climbed up there. I've never tried it, but there are things to hold on to.
I'm not going to be able to fit up there, but let's not do that.
You have got to be really thin. It's really small space. But notice the back wall there, look. All painted in black.
So it looks like it's been on.
Exactly. But there, you then get in the attic where you've got two hiding places.
But is there a better way to get into the attic?
That's the best way. Secretly, that's the best way.
Yeah.
The only way at that point was up the spiral staircase.
Okay.
Which is not where we're going now because the floorboards are treacherous, but we'll go up a different door.
Phil had one more clever hidey hole for me to find. He took me down another wonky passage and up the great staircase in search of the final priest hole. And this time, I was determined to find it. I channeled my inner priest hunter and gave it everything I had.
I'm just going to give up immediately because I've never got it right.
Sure, because everyone looks at this little cupboard down here, but that's too obvious. I mean, if you've got that in place, it's too obvious. There's actually a room underneath the stairs here. Don't know if you
underneath
it.
The stair? Ah!
It doesn't sit flush anymore, but it used to. So...
Oh! All of it comes up.
Yeah.
And there's a box of treasure in there.
A few boxes of jewellery. So the hiding place is that bit down and through there.
Oh, I like
so
this
one. So you've got a little doorway, which is, what, a couple of foot sort of wide?
Yeah.
And then you've got a hiding place that's 5'9" in length, 5 foot wide and 6 foot high.
I like that one. That's a really nice...
That's cool.
That's a good size. A nice medium... I think for a priest experiencing their first ever priest hole, this is a very nice first hole.
It's the one I experienced first, so...
Was it your first?
That was my first.
And you never forget your first?
No, you don't. So I was in there with a mannequin as well.
Were you indeed?
Yeah, I was.
I won't ask any further questions about that.
He didn't say a lot. If you look in the left, can you see the hinge on the door? On the doorway there, look.
Oh, you met on hinge.
Yeah, so that is literally a brick wall. So it's a door basically inlaid with brick. Give it a nudge, opens up, swings open inwards, and then you've got a hiding place inside.
Very nice. How long are you in this one for? 24 hours?
24, yeah.
24, yeah. Just 24.
Just 24.
Yeah,
now, easy. The jewellery in this one, that was a piece of cake. The jewellery in this one is because it's the safe. The priest hunters find this and think they've just found the safe.
I see.
A decoy. That's what it is. It's just a pure decoy.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Well, you put your family jewels in there. And so the priest hunters open this, think, oh, great, found the safe. Superior priest hunter runs up the stairs saying, have you found anything? And you just go, nope. Close it back down again.
And just lie on the stairs like, no, nothing at all to see here.
That's basically what you'd do.
Yeah.
So you would never imagine there's been a full room underneath there. That's pretty cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
This is like when you're saying this house is much bigger than you think, because it is just all these secret rooms. Isn't this amazing?
Yeah. But the thing is, Nicholas Owen hasn't drawn any plans up. He's done this all in his head. You can't be caught with plans, otherwise you're a dead man.
Oh, of course, not even orange juice ones.
Yeah, so he literally he's remodeled everything. And if you look to the left of me, you can see how the floor heights have all changed in the timber.
Yeah.
So he's had to redo the whole floor heights just to make room for a priest hide.
I wouldn't even know how to start.
No.
Oh, and my watch is telling me I've completed my 10,000 steps for the day. So this house is just the gift that keeps on giving. Thank you very much.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Goode, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
Came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We've now got back from walking around this mad, wonky rabbit warren of a house. We've got our bearings. I'm less disorientated now, but it's been incredible. I can see why you fell in love with the house. It really is special. What would you say is the one thing you would take away from the house as a visitor?
I think, like you said, I think it's just different. I think that's purely what it is. It's not something that you normally experience. You know, people go to historic houses all the time, and it's that they all sort of blend into one and all become the same. And I think people remember Harvington just purely the fact it's just unique, and there's no other house like it. And I think that's really the thing. And the whole secrecy behind it. I mean, you know, we call it the House of Secrets. And even still now, we're finding things. I had my head up a chimney last year and found a wall painting that no one's ever noticed before. You know, it's that kind of thing. So you still find things even to this day.
I love that. After how many years have you been here?
Six.
6 years, and you're still sticking your head in new things.
Oh, yeah.
We always ask this question as far as these houses with history. Ghosts, sign of ghosts, any wandering priests in the night?
Well, officially, the official answer is we're not haunted at all. But, right. I say but, Yes, people have experienced things. Of course they have. All kinds of manner of things. I've experienced things that are unexplained in this house. You know, are they a floorboard? Is it not? Just creaking? I don't know. But, you know, the footsteps, you know, you're in the house on your own and you hear someone walking at speed through the house. So you do get things like that.
Are you suggesting this might be the ghosts of priests scrambling into holes?
I've never heard any sort of noises around the priest hides. I think it's more just general, walking around, I think, more than anything. Yeah. But yeah, members of the public have said they've seen things. So some years ago we had a school group and one of the little girls started freaking out and started saying, there was a man standing next to the tour guide saying, "You're saying it all wrong. You're saying it all wrong." And apparently the teacher said that this child is not one to make it up. You know, she's the sensible girl in the class, so she wouldn't be making it up, but she was totally freaked out by it. We've also had someone complimenting all three people in costume on a particular day. There was only two. But the man in grey looked absolutely so authentic, but there was no man in grey. So we've had that.
And the man in grey, who was slightly see-through, he really was bringing it that day. He looked awesome.
but we've also had, so the withdrawing room, which is the room where there's the priest tied with the ladder in that drops down. Yeah. And that's that big window. And we've had, you know, we've had people, volunteers of the hall, when they've been on the top of the car park. And we'd finished a rehearsal for a murder mystery event that we do every year. And this chap called Bill, who's a very sensible chap, looked back at the window and could have sworn he saw a lady in grey walk from one end of the withdrawing room to the other, just past all the windows.
And was he one for making it up?
He's definitely not one for making it up. He's a serious bloke. So, no, it's interesting. So, people have seen things. But, yeah, I mean, all houses make noises. But you do hear noises that are a bit, I can't really explain that.
Yeah. Exciting. Phil, you are obviously the number one fan of Harvington Hall. But outside of Harvington Hall, are there any other stately homes, manor houses that have caught your eye that you would recommend, that you think deserve a special mention?
Oh, mentioning the enemy, I can't do that. Surely I can't encourage people to go.
Do you see them as an enemy? Yeah, rival houses.
Anyone who's got a priest hide, I'm like, yeah, you call that a priest hide. You see nothing. But no, I mean, no, genuinely, there are some cool places around it. I mean, local to here, you've got Baddesley Clinton, which is another Catholic house with priest hides in it. They say they've got three, they've only got two, but well, that's another subject.
What's the third one then? What do you think it is?
It's rubbish.
It's just a cupboard. Yeah, it's just a bloody cupboard, mate.
There's one that's behind a fireplace. It's not genuine, but some say there it's genuine, some say it's not. But we'll go with it. It's not.
Hey, anything's a priest hide if you're brave enough.
Yeah. But I think... I think round here, I think that's probably the only one, and Coton Court as well. There's another kind of one with priest hides, but there's loads of places. There's loads.
But they're nowhere near Harvington Hall.
They're not.
Yeah. No. I have a possible idea what your answer is going to be for this, seeing as you're literally sat in costume. But if you could go back and live at any point in history, what era would you pick and why?
I'm going to be boring now because you know what I'm going to say. Yeah. I'd definitely go back to the Elizabethan period, 100%. You know, I do reenactment earlier. I do Henry VIII reenactment, but dressed like the way I'm dressed now, that's where I feel more comfortable. Mm-hmm. I could live like this, to be honest. I don't know what my wife would say, but
does she get dressed up at all as well?
She's done a little bit of it, but she's not really that bothered. I've got a whole bedroom at home dedicated to Tudor clothing. So I've got we call it the Tudor room, how original. But we've got swords on the wall. I've got a portrait of myself on the wall in costume.
Incredible.
Yeah, obviously I love myself too much. But
I appreciate that. Excellent.
So Elizabethan, definitely. I would love to be in all the
And posh clothes. What job would you want to do? What sort of person would you want to be in Elizabethan time?
I'd have to be a wealthy person, so I'd have to do a lot.
Sure. Yeah, but do you want to be like military, or do you want to be just aristocracy?
No, aristocracy. I think someone that goes to court a lot, drinks a lot, dances a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
An Elizabethan drunken lord.
Yeah, well, there's a chap.
Portraits of himself all over his own house.
Well, you say that. Good, true story this is. So the man who built this house, Humphrey Packington, his cousin was called Sir John Packington, and he was a favourite of Elizabeth I, and Elizabeth I nicknamed him Lusty Packington.
Lusty Packington.
Yeah.
Wow.
So if you look at his portrait, literally, like your legs today, just literally all tights. There's literally nothing else. So his portrait, he obviously loves himself, this guy. And there was a song written after him called Packington's Pound.
Pound of what?
I don't know, but apparently it's named after him. It's quite a famous lute song, yeah. So that's the kind of man I'd like to be, you know, someone yeah. who, you know, he got a lot of attention.
And what about if there was any famous figure throughout history that you'd like to meet?
It'd be very easy for me to say someone like Henry VIII mm-hmm. or Elizabeth I, but actually, I would say Nicholas Owen, the priest tollmaker.
You'd go for him, yeah.
He's
a genius.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, he's relatively unknown. No one really knows about him. But I would love to just, like, work out how he thinks of these things and how he actually constructs it. Considering he's quite a short man as well and he's working on his own, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he must have been a serious grafter. So I'd love to have a chat with him and see what all his, little tricks.
Ask if you could build an extension on your house.
Yeah.
Just a quick, do you do conservatories?
Yeah.
Phil, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure. This house is wonderful and you are doing amazing things with it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming.
As I stumble my way out of England's wonkiest house, I'd just like to say thank you for listening. And remember, hide your priests, eat your fruit, all right with it, and mind your manners. Oh, FYI, bananas came to England in 1663. Okay, mind your manners. Bye. Thanks for listening to Bad Manners. If you like the pod, please share it with your friends. Rate it on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Leave a review and make sure you spill the tea on any of your favourite Bad Manners that we could feature in future episodes. This podcast was produced by Atomize Studios for iHeartRadio. It was hosted by me, Tom Horton. It was produced by Willa Malensky, Rebecca Rappaport, and Chris Attaway. It was executive produced by Faye Stewart and Zad Rogers. Our production manager is Caitlin Paramore, and our production coordinator is Bella Cellini.
I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.